Welcome to the Chapel Podcast from Start College and Seminary. This semester, our chapel theme is the business of the church, preaching Jesus and practicing justice. We invite you to listen in as pastors and leaders consider how God has called us all to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with Him. Our featured speaker this week is Dr. Jeff Lynn, senior pastor of Yorktown Baptist Church in Corpus Christi. His primary text is John 1, 14.
Greetings to you, the Stark family of students and faculty and administration. What a joy it is to share with you today online. Whenever you're watching this, grateful that you are tuning in. I know this is not the ideal way in which to share a message, but we are so grateful for the technology specifically during the season. To give you a little background about me, I am currently the pastor of Yorktown Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas, where I've served for almost 12 years. I have a wife of 32 years, and we have three sons together, two of whom are married. They've been married a little over 3 years. Our oldest son actually is single, never been married. He was in the Navy for 7 years, and then when he got out, he was working in Oklahoma City area, and he was very involved in Life Church there, and now he's since moved in with us to go to Del Mar in the welding school. Our middle son is the worship pastor at First Baptist Church, Mount Juliet, Tennessee, in the greater Nashville area. Our youngest son is the middle school pastor at Cross Church of Pinnacle Hills in Rogers, Arkansas, and they were blessed with our first grandson 10 months ago. So that gives you a little bit of information about our family. I've been informed that this semester, your topic is preaching Jesus and practicing justice. That's the business of the church, preaching Jesus and practicing justice. I have been a senior pastor for roughly 25 years. I've been in ministry for 37 years. So I would hope that I would know the business of the church. Hearing that reminds me of a church that had to close its doors because of a lack of people, lack of finances, and they put a sign on the front door that said, we're closed for business because we forgot what our business was. So what I'd like to do today is first to address preaching Jesus. What is it that we preach about Jesus? Of course, there's a great deal we could, but I believe I was led to what the Apostle John said in John chapter 1, verse 14. You can go ahead and turn to that passage if you'd like to. We're going to spend a little time there. But here's what we read in John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us. We observed His glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We preach and proclaim that Jesus was God in the flesh. This is foundational to Christianity, is it not? I mean, there are many who will say that Jesus was a great prophet or a great teacher, but as C.S. Lewis has been famously quoted as saying, Jesus was either a liar, he knew everything that he was saying about himself was false, he was a lunatic, that he actually believed what he was saying about himself, but not actually God, or he was indeed Lord. So he was a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. You know, I recently read an article that showed a growing number of millennials who deny the deity of Christ. Even Don Lemon of CNN News recently said just a few weeks ago, not even Jesus was perfect. Well, that's just not accurate, because Jesus was God in the flesh, and to preach Jesus, we preach Him as what? Lord and God. And to deny the deity of Christ, that God was Jesus was God in the flesh, is to deny everything that Jesus said about Himself. Jesus Himself confessed that He was God, that He was the great I Am. Of course, you know the Apostle John utilizes what we know as the I Am statements of Jesus throughout his gospel to show the deity of Christ. Reminiscent, that title is reminiscent of what God told Moses about Himself when He identified Himself as I Am. For example, in the Gospel of John, we hear Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. One of my favorite passages of this, and I believe one of the most powerful, is when in the 18th chapter of John, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples when Judas comes with soldiers and the Jewish officials to arrest Jesus. Jesus asked, "Who is it that you're seeking? For whom are you looking?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth," to which Jesus replied, "I am he." Now, the English translators insert the pronoun he to let it make sense in the English, but that's not the literal translation. Literally, Jesus replies, "I am." And in verse 6 of John 18, we read the following. When Jesus told them, "I am," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Now, why would they step back and fall to the ground? Well, the action there seems to indicate that they stepped back, but it literally means they were driven backwards. Again, just a portion of the glory of God was shown when Jesus declared that he was God in the flesh. He was and is I am. This is what we preach about Jesus. But John also writes in verse 14 of chapter 1 that Jesus was full of grace and truth. So we preach that Jesus is truth. This is what Jesus said about himself, to which I referred a few minutes ago. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." When John writes that Jesus is full of truth, he means that everything Jesus said was true. There's no falsehood in Jesus. It also means that he was sinless. Remember when Jesus was before Pilate, prior to his crucifixion, he said, "This is the reason that I came into the world, to testify to the truth." Jesus is truth, a truth that comes from outside the world and gives meaning and purpose, understanding to the world. The world didn't make this truth. It doesn't shape or change this truth. It is the truth, and it's not a truth for me and a different truth for you, but the truth for all of us. It is unchanging and absolute. So we preach that Jesus is the truth, and everything that he said is true. But the Apostle John also says in verse 14 that Jesus was full of grace. Grace is what? Unmerited favor. This means that Jesus and God dispensed those things for which we were not worthy, specifically salvation by grace through faith alone. What a great balance, huh? Full of grace and full of truth. Now, think about how those two qualities manifested themselves in Jesus as he interacted with people. It seems that Jesus spoke truth. Not that Jesus didn't always speak truth, but he spoke truth mostly to those who were the hyper-religious crowd, those Pharisees and Sadducees who thought that by virtue of their bloodline and their religious activity that they were of the truth. But Jesus rebuked their hypocrisy by speaking the truth to them. But to me, it seems like Jesus exhibited grace to those who knew that they weren't in right standing. They weren't righteous, those who knew they could never measure up or were so sinful that they could never have a relationship with God. So Jesus, again, communicated, balanced, was full of grace and truth. So to preach Jesus is to preach him as God in the flesh, full of truth and full of grace. Now let me address a practicing justice. How does preaching Jesus manifest itself into what we practice? Well, because we, as followers of Christ, have experienced truth and grace, the truth and grace of God, we are in turn to practice justice. Now, we read throughout the entire Old Testament about God being a God of justice and righteousness and rebuking his own people for what? Acting and living and treating people unjustly. On one hand, to practice justice is to administer a deserved punishment or reward. If someone commits a crime, justice demands that they serve the time, so to speak. But also, when I think of practicing justice, I think of treating everyone justly, regardless of the color of their skin, their political preferences, their socioeconomic level, or someone who hasn't confessed Jesus as Lord, even someone who's antagonistic. Just last week in our two-year reading plan here at Yorktown, I read the following from Psalm 82, 1 through 4, which exemplifies showing justice. Listen to this. God stands in the divine assembly. He pronounces judgment among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Provide justice for the needy and the fatherless. Uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute. Rescue the poor and needy. Save them from the power of the wicked." So that's what it means to practice justice. Furthermore, I don't think you can rightly practice justice if you don't know truth. As we've seen over the last several weeks, there are riots in the streets demanding what? Justice. Even though they might not know the truth behind the reason of their riots, or because they refuse to acknowledge the facts of some incident which led to those riots. Recently, John MacArthur was interviewed, and he wrote in this article, actually, listen to this, "As for facts, the very concept clashes with the postmodern belief that reality is a socially constructed concept. In a world where literally nothing is regarded as axiomatic, settled, certain, or factual, all truth becomes infinitely malleable. So the prevailing opinion today is that there is no such thing as definitive truth, and even if there is, you cannot be sure that you have it. Truth itself is viewed as outdated and oppressive. Blurry lines, shades of gray, compromise, ambiguity, and equivocation are the preferred tools of human discourse. Nothing is deemed absolute except the absence of any absolute standard. This is the very height of folly." He goes on to say, listen to this, "Such contempt for truth can only result in confusion and chaos, exactly what we are seeing played out in real time as major cities have been racked by riots and in some cases given over to anarchy. So to practice justice, you've got to know the truth. And for those in the church, we practice Jesus because we preach Jesus." But as I was thinking and praying through this message, this came to mind. If we believe that God is a righteous and a just judge, then showing mercy to others is really practicing justice. That we believe everyone should have the opportunity to hear about what Jesus has done for them. Justice means that the debt of our sin has to be paid, and because of our sin, we are not in right standing justified with the judge, the righteous judge of the universe. The Bible says that God cannot let sin go unpunished because why? He's a just judge. So in his justice, we all deserve the wrath of God and death. And to me, offering salvation by grace through faith is practicing justice. I also think that far too many times we want God to mete out his justice on our terms, that we think people don't deserve, that some people don't deserve the grace and mercy of God. As I record this, I'm in the middle of a three-week series within a series from the book of Jonah, which is part of a larger series on the minor prophets called Reset, A New Beginning. So it's about, this series within a series is about Jonah, who, as you well know, refused to go to Nineveh the first time that he was called, and he fled the opposite direction to Tarshish. From what Jonah knew and what we know about the Assyrians, they were a cruel and a powerful country or entity. And it would seem that Jonah refused to go to Assyria or to Nineveh because he might have feared this cruel and powerful people. And you have to read all four chapters to understand why he didn't want to go. But God had mercy on Jonah and gave him a second chance to go preach that God's judgment was imminent unless Nineveh repented of their wickedness. So the king got word of what Jonah was saying and issued a decree that everyone must call out earnestly to God and plead for his mercy. Let me read verse 10 of chapter 3 of Jonah. "God saw their actions, that they had turned from their evil ways, so God relented from the disaster he had threatened them with, and he did not do it." I mean, that seems like a great ending to a successful preaching career, doesn't it? One day of preaching and an entire city of 120,000 repenting and turning to God. But the entire fourth chapter of Jonah is his response to what God did. After the verse that we just read, let me read the next verse beginning in chapter 4. Jonah was greatly displeased at what God had done and became furious. He prayed to the Lord, "Please, Lord, isn't this what I said while I was still in my own country? That's why I fled toward Tarshish in the first place. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love, and one who relents from sending disaster. And now, Lord, take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Do you hear that? Jonah didn't believe that the Ninevites deserved God's mercy. He wanted justice. And Jonah pouted because of that. And we learn from the rest of the chapter that Jonah had more pity for a plant that was providing him comfort than he did about the destiny of the Ninevites. As Jesus said in a parable about some vineyard workers who received the same pay, regardless of whether or not they worked all day, 12 hours or 1 hour, Jesus, or the landowner says in Matthew 20, verse 15, "Don't I have the right to do what I want with what is mine? Are you jealous because I'm generous?" I think that's the same question that God is asking Jonah in essence. When God told Jonah the Ninevites didn't know their left hand from their right hands, he probably means that they were ignorant of God in the midst of their culture. I mean, the Bible says that everybody knows there is a God, but no one had ever shared with them truth. So if we're preaching Jesus as the only way to salvation, then we practice justice by giving everyone an opportunity to hear about God's grace as manifested at the cross. As the psalmist declares in Psalm 85, verse 10, which is true of the cross of Christ, listen to this: "Unfailing love and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed." So as we close down here, shut it down, may we be courageous in preaching Jesus and compassionate in practicing justice. God bless you again, and thank you for watching, and thank you for this great privilege.
Thank you for joining us for the Chapel Podcast from Stark College and Seminary. Stark College and Seminary prepares men and women to serve in the church and community all across South Texas, with teaching locations in Corpus Christi, McAllen, Victoria, and San Antonio. To learn more about us, you can visit stark.edu or find us on social media at Stark College.